nothing to show, just climbing his rope. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison begins, as promised, with the longest tenured head coach in the NFC North. And hopefully we'll be saying that about him for a long time. Joining us now, he is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He is Matt LaFleur. Matt, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. You always make me feel so special when you have me on.
Well, after I flubbed the first appearance that you made on the show, I'm trying to make up for it every chance I get. Hey, speaking of that first appearance, first of all, thank you for coming back every year, because I didn't think you would after that. But obviously, I sucked that time that you were on shortly after you got the job. That was 3 years ago. I'm wondering, as you have gone through your coaching career here and had all the success you've had, what did you suck at initially? Like, you had never been a head coach before. Was there something that you look back on and go, man, I wasn't very good at that right away, but now I've figured it out and I'm pretty darn good at it?
Well, I think I sucked at everything, quite frankly. I remember getting a lot of heat for that opening presser, that's for sure. And I wouldn't say I'm great in those situations, but I hope I've improved.
I would say you have.
Yeah, there's so many things that, you know, you're trying to do right, you're trying to give your best, and it's like, it kind of reminds me of, you ever seen the movie Tommy Boy, where he's always trying to get the sale, and he puts so much effort in it, and he's just better when he relaxes. And I feel like that is the thing that you learn the most, is as you get more comfortable, you can really truly be yourself, and it just kind of comes out more natural and more authentic, and it typically comes out much better.
So that doesn't mean that you stray away from your go-to phrases, though, right? You still hit the reset button. You still want to go 1-0 every week. I know you think that we make fun of you behind your back for those, but we don't. I mean, they're not the greatest quotes in the world. That's true, but you really believe that. And my question, Matt, is, when you have the success that you've had, isn't that proof that you are making that mentality work? And Tausch always talks about how if you hear coaches say stuff and then you hear their players say stuff, that is proof that your messaging is working. And you have your guys talk about the reset button a heck of a lot. So do you feel like that approach really has paid off, no matter what teasing you think you're getting behind your back?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think the consistency of the messaging is so important, because then the guys understand what is important. What are we all about? What is our formula? What is our process? And we're very fortunate to have, number one, not only great players, but great people in this building. And I'm not just talking about our players, but our coaches, support staff, everybody involved with this thing. And it really takes everybody in order to have consistent success. And so it truly is a credit to everybody in this organization.
So, Matt, we listened to your post game after Detroit, and I think a lot of us from the outside are looking at it, and it was a game that wasn't going to affect your seeding and anything else. But, you know, Jason mentioned you actually called off the dogs and took more questions and had a point you really wanted to make about the sloppiness of some of the play on the, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Isn't that, from a coach's standpoint, where you can go, you get out of there relatively healthy, but you have something that you can kind of hold back and let your defense know that wasn't good enough going into a bye week?
Yeah, I think we're all competitors, and anytime you have an opportunity to go out there and compete, you want to do your best, and you want to find a way to win the game. And when you don't, it is upsetting. I don't really care who's out there. You know, there's an expectation, and there's a mentality here that we have, and it is we're going to do whatever it takes to find a way to win the game. But not only that, to be at your best. And when you're not at your best, that's a tough pill to swallow. And we always got to look hard at the tape and see why we weren't at our best. And, you know, when there's breakdowns in communication, that typically leads to mistakes. And that's really what we have to get cleaned up, I would say, going forward here, is making sure that we communicate to the highest level to make sure and ensure that those costly mistakes don't happen.
So, Matt, after taking a look at the tape, how did you think Jordan Love played in the second half up in Detroit?
You know, I thought there was a lot of good things that he did. Certainly, the quarterback's number one job is to take care of the football. And obviously, the two interceptions were tough, but I really... when you go back and look at it, the one was a batted ball at the line of scrimmage that got tipped up after it hit Amari's hands. And then the second one was in a two-minute situation where he absolutely had to get rid of the ball. And we've got to do a better job up front. But I still think that is a throw that, you know, we expect him to be able to make. And that's not easy because there was a free rusher right in his face, and he took a nice hit on that. And but that is life in the National Football League, and you got to find ways to be able to execute those plays in those tough situations that he was in.
Talking with Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on Wilde and Tausch. So, Matt, speaking of quarterbacks, and I know you're not coaching, so you can be the coach of the year. I get that. I understand that you have the best quarterback in football. I get that. But on the flip side, you know, having covered him for his entire career, Aaron Rodgers in 17, he had the broken collarbone. In 18, he obviously had some challenges. As good as he has been to help your record be 39-10, I know you're not going to take a ton of credit for this, but your offense has been a really good match for him, and you guys, on a personal level, have been a really good match. If he wins his second MVP, I know I've learned enough about you that you're not going to sit here and go, yeah, I deserve credit for that. I get it. But do you feel really good about how you have helped him as much as he has helped you succeed as a head coach?
Well, yeah, I think absolutely. But I think it's not just, you know, myself. It's Nathaniel Hackett. It's Luke Getsy. It's all our other coaches. And it's the other guys that are out there playing with him. I mean, football is the ultimate team sport. And I absolutely think, without a doubt, he is deserving of that award. I don't think there's a guy that is more valuable to his team or to this league than he is. And I think he consistently does it on a weekly basis. And it's so awesome to work with him on a daily basis, because I think many times as a coach, you're learning as much, if not more, from watching him go out there perform and seeing him make some of the decisions that he makes. It's just, I can't even give it the right words to justify what he means to this organization, this football team, this league. It's been quite an experience.
Matt, so it's been 3 years. What has been, you had probably some preconceived notions, but is there anything that has surprised you about Aaron?
I'm surprised. Yeah, I would say there's a lot. He knows so much about so many different things, and it's amazing just the mental capacity that he has to hold all that knowledge. I always kind of joke with him, like, man, if I start learning about, you know, the horoscopes and all the other things that he's interested, I'm going to lose some of the knowledge that I have in football. So my brain only has room for so much information, and he is unique. He knows a lot about a lot of things, and we have some great conversations that don't always pertain to football, but just about life. And I think the one thing that's so special about him, and this is the perspective that we have in this building, I would say, especially in that quarterback room, but anybody on this team, is just the heart that he has and the care that he has for not only his teammates, but just for people in general. And I don't think that necessarily gets shown through to all the people out there, you know, outside of this building.
Yeah, and playing with Aaron, he definitely likes to bust chops. We saw that on the Manning cast where he was giving you some grief about, I don't know, eyebrows and style and all this other stuff. What do you give him grief about?
I just take it. It's okay. I was joking with him because I was watching it, and I almost FaceTimed him when he was given that. And I was just – I wanted to be – it would have been interesting to see if he would have picked up my call live on the Manning cast. I think he would have. I think it would have made for a great TV moment, but, I guess I chickened out.
Hey, Matt, he gives us a hard time for talking, for questioning what the relationship between you two might be like coming into the 2019 season. And as I have told you before privately, that wasn't about us not thinking you could have a relationship with him. It was the way things had ended in his previous coaching relationship. As your relationship has grown and you guys can give each other grief, et cetera, what was last offseason like for you, not knowing what exactly the future held and whether you were going to have him back? And are you hopeful that you can avoid having to go through that stress for another offseason? I know you're focused on the playoffs, but how hard was last offseason, and how hopeful are you that you don't have to experience that again?
Yeah, I mean, it's never easy when you're unsure of things. You'd rather just kind of know and kind of get focused on the direction that you need to go in as an organization and as a football team and as a leader of this team. But, inside, internally, I was always cautiously optimistic that we could figure something out, especially with just the success that he had had in that 2020 season and that we had as a team. And I felt really good about our team coming back. Obviously, he being a huge part of that and making sure that all comes to fruition. And thankfully, we were able to figure that out. And I'm sure that, this offseason, when we get there, hopefully not for a while, that we can all get together and make some quick decisions.
So, Matt, I don't want to spend too much time on football because that's why we have those great Zoom calls with you these days, which I know are one of the highlights of your day. But we did start the transition, so now you can see us, which is a pretty big loss for you. Tausch, when we were talking about the Manning cast, one of the things Rodgers was talking about was what great shape you're in, how handsome you are, et cetera, et cetera. When you look back onto the iPad or the video camera and you see us, you don't see a lot of us looking fit and handsome. I'm wondering, after rupturing your Achilles, what is your workout program and what do you recommend that I get on?
Well, I would say my workout program is inconsistent at best. We try to get in early in the mornings prior to getting our day going, prior to our staff meetings and whatnot. But Chris Gizzi does a great job, our strength coach, of leading us through those routines. I'd say the most consistent guy that's shown up this year, and I think he kind of reflects it, is Nathaniel Hackett. He's lost a lot of weight, so he's looking pretty good. I try to show up as much as I can. Sometimes it's 4 days a week, and sometimes it might be 1 day a week, but always trying to get a little something in, and can always usually get a nice little quick jog in from, although it's not far from here, over to the practice facility every day.
So you mentioned Nathaniel Hackett. You brought up Luke Getsy earlier. They both now apparently are going to be interviewed by the Broncos for their vacant head coaching job. When you got the job, you got it on your own merits, but there was the narrative of, well, do you know Sean McVay? Hey, we think we might want to hire you. And even I have a friend who works for the Arizona Cardinals who I teased for having in their announcement that Cliff Kingsbury was friends with Sean, even though he hadn't worked for him before. Is it time now? Could we see a Matt LaFleur tree? And what would it mean to you to see those guys get opportunities elsewhere at the same time, selfishly wanting them to stay around because you know what good coaches they are?
Yeah, you said it best right there. It's a blessing and a curse. yeah, these guys are so deserving. And I always tell all these guys, we wouldn't be in the spot today without the collective effort of our entire coaching staff. So it's exciting for guys like Nathaniel and Luke to get opportunities. And I think it quite honestly lifts the morale of all the guys around here. Seeing other guys get those opportunities is an important part of it, because when you've had the success that we've had, it's only natural that you want to see guys get rewarded for those successes. And although it would definitely leave a hole, you know, within our staff if they do get those opportunities, we will make sure that we do our best to fill those holes. And we always try to develop from within, and we've got a lot of other great coaches on this staff that we feel really good about that we could elevate into those positions if that were to come to fruition.
Matt, a couple more things before we let you go. What would you be doing right now in preparation if you weren't on with us two knuckleheads?
I'd be watching a lot of tape right now. So probably be into the 11 personnel and creating the list and get ready for at about typically, you know, mid-afternoon. We kind of get together and we organize all the lists and really put the game plan together.
So I know you've got a lot on your schedule, so thanks for making time for us. I did ride up in the elevator before the Minnesota game with Bree and the boys, and I wondered, as we were talking, she was telling me about soccer and flag football, and obviously I've seen you at soccer games and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, what are the best and worst parts of your job? Because I know you want not only to see your guys that are players for you compete, but you also want to see your boys compete. I would assume that you don't get to see as much as you would like to there. What are the best and worst parts of the gig that you've had so much success in?
Yeah, I would say the best part of the job is I love what I do. I love coming to work each and every day. It doesn't even feel like work. I mean, you're coaching football, and what's so special is when you have special people, it's the relationships that are developing over the course of these last couple of years. It's just, it's a lot of fun each and every day, but on the flip side of it is it takes a lot of time and a lot of commitment, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, and we as coaches don't get to see our families as much as we'd like. That's why I think when we do get time, I always encourage our guys to, you know, make sure you're spending time with your family, and I'm sure after the season here, we'll do the same. We'll try to get out of town and just have a family trip to try to reconnect, because especially when you have kids as young as I have, I mean, it goes fast. As I've seen, it's hard to believe that we've been here for 3 years already. And just, you know, it's going to be a matter of time before they're out of the house. So got to take advantage of the opportunity when they are young and they actually want to be around me.
Hey, Matt, do you get a lot of coaching tips when you're at these soccer games watching your kids? Do you have people come up and say, boy, I really think you could run more outside zone? Do you getting a lot of unsolicited advice when you're out at some of these things?
Only from Jason. He's the only guy that will come up and do that to me. So now everybody, I'll tell you what, this town is spectacular. The people in this town are just, you know, they are just special. I can't think of the right word right now, but it's the good old Midwestern values of just being very respectful and courteous and understanding that, you know, I am with my family and they pretty much leave you alone and they might say hello and just I can't say enough great things about the people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you've got me pegged. I'm a huge X's and O's guy. You know my favorite thing that I've gotten to do, though, was the time that you went through tape with me in your office. That is one of the highlights of my career, and I hope someday after COVID we're able to do that again because I learned a ton. All right, last two things. I want to end where we started about you and being able to be yourself. First of all, during the preseason, you made the mention about the fans and making sure we're not doing the wave and stuff when you're on offense. The way this cheerleading sideline business has evolved, how much fun are you having and how effective do you think you are at that?
I don't know how good I am, but it seems to me that you can definitely hear the crowd get a little bit more excited when I'm up there, and I encourage all our players and coaches to do the same. I mean, we need everybody, and that energy, our guys feed off that, and it's great when our fans are on their feet, and I really think they've done a great job supporting us, and it does make a difference.
And again, getting to know you a little bit more, I do miss face-to-face interactions, but as you have allowed your personality to come out more, that has also been the case in the occasional commercial, and I need to know, did you ad-lib, is that a pancreas, or was that something that was written in the script?
There was a lot of ad-libbing going on that day. I just kind of said, screw it, I'm gonna let my hair down and just let it all out, man, and just try to bring that energy. So I hope you guys enjoy those.
I certainly do, and I've certainly enjoyed covering you these 3 years. It's been great having a great working relationship with you. I am eager for days where we can sit down and talk again. I hope those are around the corner. Thanks for making time for us. You can get back to your 11 personnel tape, all right?
All right, appreciate it, guys.
That is Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Tausch, not a train wreck. We're on like a 3-game winning streak with him now, right? I think we're doing okay.
Yeah, what is he yelling about a pancreas about?
So he has a commercial for Bellin Health, and mm-hmm. he is like kind of like you were suggesting at soccer games, people coming over maybe with suggestions for him. The premise is he is in the operating theater like Kramer and Jerry and the Junior Mint, but he's like right over the surgeon's shoulder, and he's looking into the surgery and points and shouts, is that a pancreas? I saw a pancreas. Tausch, I will say this, and look, you played for obviously Barry Alvarez, you played for Mike Sherman, you played for Mike McCarthy, you have now watched Matt LaFleur these last 3 years. It's different for players and their relationships with coaches, but coaches do start to show their personalities more. Mike McCarthy definitely did in the years as he got more comfortable. What do you remember about those evolutions for those guys you played for? Obviously, Barry was further in his career when you played for him as opposed to the other two. And then what have you seen from Matt LaFleur when we're talking about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he hit the nail on the head when you asked him right out of the gate. Authenticity and being comfortable. There's something you can tell when somebody's really uncomfortable and nervous, and I think everybody understands in the beginning of it. But when you're the head coach of a football team and people are looking to you, you have to be confident. You have to believe what you're saying. And the last thing you can do is try to – you can't BS a BSer. And I think the authenticity and the fact that Matt LaFleur knew what he was talking about, and then having that success and getting the buy-in from the Rodgers and the Mercedes and the veterans on that team, I think you could tell he has grown into it and now is completely comfortable in everything that it is to be a head football coach. And I think that's why I think Packer fans should be excited, because he's still a very young guy and hopefully going to be signed to a big fat contract extension and going to be the head football coach here for a long time.
So that'll be interesting to see, because I would think that the Packers, based on the way these 2 years now have gone, that if you're Mark Murphy, you want to make sure that you lock up your general manager, your head coach, and maybe that quarterback guy as well for as long as possible. We'll talk more about what Matt LaFleur had to say from our conversation with him. And I'll see if I can't track down the commercial for you so you can hear him shout, is that a pancreas? That's all still ahead on Wilde and Tausch. Stick around.
I mean, football is the ultimate team sport, and I absolutely think without a doubt, he is deserving of that award. I don't think there's a guy that is more valuable to his team or to this league than he is. And I think he consistently does it on a weekly basis.
that's Matt LaFleur, who spent about 20 minutes with us to start the 10 o'clock hour here. If you missed it or joining us late, of course, that's the beauty of WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Thanks to David and the team over at Gruber Law Offices for supporting our show and supporting Wisconsin On Demand. Again, WisconsinOnDemand.com, the Wisconsin On Demand app, which allows you to then listen on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and elsewhere. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. So, Tausch, obviously he thinks Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. Welcome to the rest of, or almost all of, football humanity. There are arguments to be made for Tom Brady. Obviously, Hub Arkish has his own argument that he's been making or apologizing for, but not really apologizing for. But I didn't necessarily expect him to take a bunch of credit for it. But from your perspective, having watched every snap Aaron Rodgers has played, whether it was in offensive meeting rooms when you watched film afterward while you were his teammate, or since he played and since you retired, how much has Matt LaFleur helped Aaron Rodgers? Because I didn't expect him to say, yeah, he owes a lot to me. But I think if he wanted to, he could say, yeah, I've helped him quite a bit, especially the way things were trending with the guy who had the job before me.
I mean, you could just look at the numbers, man, and you can always find numbers to spin a narrative, but the numbers, Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are 39. I want to say it was like 28 and 23, but there was the stat line before. This wasn't like rinse, lather, repeat, you're going to be, you know, 13-3 every year. It's never been done before. So what I think Matt LaFleur has done, A, reinvigorated, I think, Aaron Rodgers in the fact that a new coach, a new system, a new challenge was met by Aaron. And then I think schematically, you're seeing guys the ball out of his hand quicker. You're seeing guys, especially last year, just completely wide open. You've mixed in the RPO stuff with that run game, and you're getting Alan Lazard on some of those quick hitters. I think the combination of the newness and the fact that it re-challenged Aaron to almost revitalize his career, and then the fact that the scheme gives you some absolute gimmies, I think that has helped, you know, kind of reset Aaron's career arc. Not that it was gone off the tracks, but I can remember when we first started doing this show talking about what's wrong with Aaron. You know, he's holding the ball, they're throwaways, and, you know, the timing just doesn't seem, nobody's open. Well, guys are open, and that is a testament to your scheme, too. Not everything has to be one-on-one, work it out. And what I think Matt LaFleur deserves the most credit about is the fact that he has been flexible and smart enough and not ego-driven enough to say, this guy's done it 17 years, man. I want to lean on him. I'm not going to be a pushover, but I want to hear what he has to say because I can learn. So many times coaches are the authoritarian. I'm the smartest guy in the room. I know everything. My system works. And he could probably say that now, but he understands Aaron Rodgers is going to play within the scheme, but he's also going to play within his knowledge base, and it makes Aaron feel like a partner with him. And that was when they were going through that hiring process. That was job one, mission one, was to get that done, and mission accomplished. Now, whether or not you can do that in the playoffs and get it done, the pressure is mounting. We're going to start feeling that early next week. But as we're sitting here right now, I think Matt LaFleur has been immensely important to getting Aaron Rodgers to the position where he's going to be a back-to-back MVP and is playing some of the best football and looks like he's having some of the most fun that we've seen him have throughout his entire career.
So a couple things that you said there that I want to talk more about. One is not be a pushover. So obviously he said that he just lets the quarterback give him a hard time and he just sort of takes it. Now, I don't know if that's entirely true. I'm sure he gets back after him once in a while. But how hard, like, you've been around coaches. We've seen other coaches from afar who that is the old school. It's Gene Hackman and Hoosiers. What I say when it comes to this basketball team is the law, absolutely and without discussion. And then he lets Jimmy Chitwood take the game-winning shot at the end, which is all about that movie. But how much is that this, I don't want to say generation, but I guess that's what it is, of coaches? Like, it seems like Sean McVay is that way. I don't know enough about Kyle Shanahan to speak intelligently about what he is like in his approach, but how important do you think that is? And would that have been nice to have when you were a player, or did you think it worked fine when you were a player?
No, I think there's always more. When you can get buy-in and make people feel like they're a part of the process, they're going to be more bought in. It can't just be run this play because I said so. And then if it doesn't work because somebody brings 10 guys down, you say, well, if you did it right, you get it done. Well, no, if there's two guys you can't block, what are you going to do about it? Be smart about how you approach things. And, yeah, I get it. You know, there is the game has gotten softer, or there's not the same amount of practice. And you should take care of your guys. You should want their input because they're the ones that are out there doing it. If they say, hey, I can't reach this three technique, I can't reach Warren Sapp when it's the case, the answer isn't, well, do better. The answer is, all right, well, maybe we need to scheme some things differently. Now, if somebody's just whooping you straight up, you got to own that as a player, because if you're saying that to a coach and the coach can see it too, he's like, no, that's not a schematic thing. That's a player thing. And as long as you have that trust and that communication going, and the coaches will look at it and say, yeah, that is a heck of a tough block. We think you can do it. And then if you don't do it, and if you keep asking them to do it, that's just bad coaching. If a player can't do it, then you have to, well, we got to have a chip. We got to have help. That's what this whole thing's about, and I think coaches have gotten a lot smarter, and a lot. There's still a ton of ego. Matt LaFleur comes off as the nicest guy in the room. Matt LaFleur's got an ego, and he should have an ego, and he needs to have an ego. But he's also listening to what his players are telling him. He's listening to Aaron Rodgers when he says, "Hey, Devontae, I saw that the Minnesota play up at Minnesota where he does that double move on an all-out blitz. That's not how it was drawn up, but he trusts his stars that they will adjust and make a play." That ain't in Matt LaFleur's playbook. That's in Aaron Rodgers, Devontae's playbook, and there's enough trust there that they know they can do it without getting screamed at, and Matt LaFleur says, pretty good result. I think we can live with that.
So then the other part of that is this idea of collaboration. And obviously Aaron Rodgers has had that not necessarily right from the jump, but certainly very early on in his relationship with his coach. Is that in any way now trickling to the general manager where, again, Matt LaFleur doesn't just run only the plays that Aaron Rodgers wants him to run? He has reasons behind things. They talk through things. They find that connection, right? And it especially happened with LaFleur during the offseason after the 2019 season when they were doing it via Zoom. If Aaron Rodgers has that with the coach and it's growing with the general manager, isn't that the exact playbook to make sure that he wants to stay here? I mean, we did ask Matt LaFleur about that, and it did sound, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but there sounded like there was some optimism there as well, that the guy knows what he's got here. Do you think that they have now trended exactly where they needed to in both the coaching department and the GM department to make him feel like he's part of the equation?
Yeah, I don't know about the GM department. I think the coaching department, you felt like this was trending the right way the entire time. Really, since probably the middle part of their first season together, you felt
agreed.
Like this trend line is good. There's trust. There's this. And I think just listening to Aaron's comments and the fact that he's mentioning Goody by name, Russ Ball, Mark Murphy, those are all great trends. But I still think, is this postseason run going to have any effect on what happens? Nobody knows. And like we went through the 4 months of Rodgers' watch last offseason, I'm not sure he knows. Things can change quickly with him.
No
it's
doubt.
It's just that you right now, if you're a betting man and you're looking at the odds, you're thinking, yeah, he'll be back in Green Bay. All trends point that way. Let's say San Fran comes in here and beats us. Is that going to stay? When they figure out how the contract is going to get worked through, is that going to change? Because we all thought great things last year, and then you pointed out in that presser, that sounded like a goodbye, and everybody crushed you. You just don't know with Aaron, and that's why it's predictably unpredictable to try to figure that piece of it out. But if you're asking trend lines, 100% trend going the right way. Conversations seem to be going the right buy-in, and the fact that, you know, LaFleur had mentioned what Aaron means to the franchise and the people in the building, and that he's a little bit misunderstood from the outside. I think all of those things, the support that he got from the organization during the COVID, whatever you want to call it, I think was big for him moving forward with this organization. I think that was one of those kind of seminal moments of how is this going to go? And I think the way the Packers approached it and handled it, I think is probably trending in the right side for Aaron Rodgers.
So as the parallel track is speeding toward Denver, is that in any way, as someone who wants him back, right? That I don't want to misrepresent your position. You want him back. Is that in any way, if you are among the people like Tausch, who wants him to stay until the wheels fall off, which I believe is the best thing for the Green Bay Packers, is yes. The Denver stuff starting to make you a little nervous, or do you think, I'm not worried about that at all? The fact that both those guys are on the interview list.
No, I mean, interviewing is one thing. I'm not worried. Jacksonville obviously is not going to be bringing a new quarterback in now unless Nathaniel Hackett goes down and says, hey, we'll trade Trevor Lawrence for that's an off-season discussion hypothetical. I think if the Denver Broncos hire one of these two guys, the radars on everybody are going to perk a bunch. If they don't, I think you're going to start seeing the trend continue to spike up. I would say, you know, you're looking at it right now, and I think as Packer fans that want Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's almost unanimous now, to finish his career in Green Bay, I think you're feeling really good about where you're positioned.
It's almost unanimous. So those friends of yours that we talked about during the offseason that were ready to get rid of him, have you talked to those friends of yours, and have they come around? They still think he's a knob, but they want him back, or where are they at?
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I text with them pretty much after every game, and I say, boy, sure, yeah, those two first-round picks would look great now, wouldn't they? And they're still, well, you get this haul. And finally, I think they still say, let's see him get it done in the postseason. There's still the, great job in the regular season. We've seen this play before, but I just feel like this year's different. They're still sitting there, and I think they're coming around, but they want to see this thing get finished off.
Eeyaw, we're going to play some trivia. But before we give you the caller, Ashton, very eager to do caller 243, but we'll stop short of that. So some of you, because you don't live in the greater Green Bay Metroplex like I do, you have not seen this Bell and Health commercial in which the head coach of the Green Bay Packers sits in on a surgery. Ashton, being the crack producer that he is, has the commercial. So here is Matt LaFleur doing a post-surgery press conference with a couple of flashbacks into the surgery that he performed or helped perform for Bell and Health.
It was a great day today. I really liked what I saw in there.
Coach, what'd you see?
Looks good. Need a little suction here.
Oh, wow. Is that a pancreas?
When you need surgery, remember Bell & Health's surgery team is in a league of their own.
What I saw was a team playing at the highest level and a pancreas.
No, that wasn't a pancreas.
Oh, it was a pancreas.
Welcome to your healthiest life.
That is Matt LaFleur in surgery.
Jason, who did it better? Me with Pella or LaFleur with the pancreas? Because it sounds, I haven't seen it. Obviously, LaFleur is a better looking guy. I'm not arguing any of that. Just straight up acting chops. Who you got?
So here's the problem. Your Gina Della and the Title Tone Singers commercial, you were part of an ensemble cast, right? You've got Leroy Butler.
Correct.
You've got yep. Wayne Larrivee. I got to say, even though I thought, maybe was well delivered, I feel like the star of the commercial, even more so than Gina, who has all the great deals and all the great products from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, was Wayne Larrivee, who ad-libbed, I'm told, now you're cooking with gas. So I feel like if I were to do power rankings of acting in commercials, I would put you third, Wayne second, and is that a pancreas?
Oh, wow. I just is that think, a pancreas?
Considering how wow. staid and level-headed he comes across in all of his other appearances publicly, that was some real acting by him, because he's not usually like that.
Oh, wow.
So I'm
going to
put Matt LaFleur first.
Wow. Okay. Seems fair. I disagree, but it seems fair. I haven't seen the ad, so it's tough for me to make that judgment.
All right, well, you break down the film. So would you put yourself ahead of Wayne Larrivee in your Title Tone Singers commercial?
No, I would put Gina first and then Wayne, but I'm also smart.
Okay, I was just being honest. She's got a lot more commercial experience than you do, although you've been in a feature film, which I still don't know how the 60-yard line turns out. Hopefully, our trivia turns out with three correct answers. It is Matt LaFleur trivia. And so, in honor of Matt LaFleur's 39 regular season wins, we will take caller 39 to 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776, caller 39 for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. The subject is Matt LaFleur LaPlaire. And Tausch is going to tell you about our great new partnership with Topper's Pizza.
Football and pizza. Boy, did they go hand in hand. Topper's Pizza and Jonathan Taylor, who's probably going to finish third in the MVP vote. They want to hook you up during the postseason with a fantastic contest. Love a great contest. This one's simple. Go to toppers.com/ESPN. That's toppers.com/ESPN right now. You can win an autographed Jonathan Taylor Wisconsin jersey. And you get a $280 gift card to Topper's Pizza. $280. That'll be our caller tomorrow, number 280. Do you know how many Topper sticks you can get for $280? I don't. But sign up at toppers.com/ESPN. Badgers legend Jonathan Taylor, he loves him some Topper's Pizza, and you can reward yourself. Download the all-new Topper's Pizza app, and you can earn points for free food. Topper's Pizza is growing. Be like Jonathan Taylor, and you can become a Topper's franchisee. Learn more about the Topper's story and request more info at toppers.com/franchise. Pizza, football, and an awesome contest from our friends over at Topper's Pizza. And for your chance to win the signed JT28 jersey and the Topper's gift card for $280, go to toppers.com/ESPN. It's a lot of Topper's Pizza.
And I have great news, because on occasion we have a partnership that is maybe a Milwaukee-based company or a Madison-based company, and me up here in Green Bay, I'm missing out. We have three Green Bay locations of Topper's, and I have never had Topper's Pizza. We're gonna have, I think we should have that for dinner tonight. I don't have a $280 gift card. I am not eligible to win that, but I think tonight will be a Topper's Pizza night for the Wildies. Caller 39, 800-990-3776. We will play Matt LaFleur pancreas trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Oh, wow, is that a pancreas?
Before we play trivia, you know, one of our core tenets on this program is credit where credit is due. So, Ashton, is it you or is it Jesse or Josh DiMaggio or Chris Larson? who gets credit for having the Matt LaFleur podcast already up, because I have gotten my alert from the good people at Spotify that the Matt LaFleur interview is already available. Now, we don't want you to leave. Stick around for the Badgers Outsider. If you missed Matt LaFleur earlier, you can catch him later at your leisure. But who's working double time to get Matt LaFleur's podcast posted like this?
I mean, I posted it, but I'm not going to toot my own horn because it doesn't take that much effort to do it when I'm – that was my focus.
Whoa!
That was my sole focus. That was my sole focus.
No, just wait a second.
I knew what I was getting into when I said that. It's not how you hear it. I'm saying I was my sole focus was to post that. Jesse's cutting up audio. No. He's doing other stuff right now. Kick saving you.
Can we get Jesse back on the air to tell us how hard he's working?
I was just going to say, we asked Jesse to put like a sound graph up once every 3 weeks or a download. The way he makes it sound, it's like he's got to run a marathon while he's got a 500-pound rock over his back. Like, it sounds like it. You can't possibly do it. Here you are producing the show, taking caller 39, and posting the podcast. It's uncanny.
We appreciate you, Ashton. Thank you. All right, time for trivia. Let's welcome in our 39th caller and our contestant. It is our old buddy Dan in Brothertown. Dan, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Everything's great.
How long does it take you to go from Brothertown to Brilliant, home of Aaron's, because I was just in Brilliant last weekend. I would have swung by and said hello if I was in the neighborhood.
Oh, wow. It should probably take about 25 minutes. I'm on the east side of Lake Winnebago, so if you went up on 151 into Brilliant, I don't know how you went to Brilliant from Milwaukee. Or
57.
From Green Bay.
I took 57 from Green Bay.
Yep. 57 to 10, you probably took the green over to.
I did indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yep,
this has been Maps with Dan and Brothertown and Jason. Time now for trivia. It is Matt LaFleur Trivia. Tausch, you've got question number one.
All right, Dan, how many current head coaches of teams in the NFC North are named Matt? Is it one, two, or three?
I'm guessing that would be one.
That, Jesse, good work. That is an excellent callback to his first appearance. When Matt LaFleur, Matt Nagy, Matt Patricia, Matt Damon. All right, question two. I will never live that down, especially in my own mind. Question two. Both Matt LaFleur and New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh were graduate assistants together at which MAC school? Was it Akron, Central Michigan, or Bowling Green?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I'm going to say it was a grad assistant. What's his name? Was the head coach and made him do their driveway.
Yes.
I'll say Akron.
You had the anecdotes. Brian Kelly was the coach. It was at Central Michigan, the Chippewas.
Oh.
All right, let's bounce back on question three, Dan.
All right, Daniel. NFL Films captured Matt LaFleur's now famous phrase, all glass, no blank and blank, during a Packers game in 2019 against which opponent at Lambeau Field? Wow, is this a...
This is a hard,
ridiculous tough question.
Oh,
come
brother.
On, Jesse. All right. Is it the Eagles, the Raiders, or the Saints?
What year? 2019?
Yep, 2019. Yep.
Oh, cripes. I'm going to say at home, 19.
Yep.
I'm going to say it was the Raiders.
Yes, sir.
Oh. All gas, no brake. Nicely done.
Wow.
Dan, 2 out of 3 gives you 3 out of 4 possible entries into the drawing, which may or not occur later in the week. Nice work, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. You have a great day.
We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which will include some Twitter trash and Twitter treasure, a visit from the Badgers outsider, and more. So stick around. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.